I'm so excited to share that one of my favorite places to shop is sponsoring this podcast, Goodwill. I have been a shopper of Goodwill since high school. I loved it so much back then because, and it's still the same reason, the thrill of the hunt, the fact that the prices are so cheap, and because I find things that are one of a kind, that when I wear them, that when I share them, when I put them in my art room or post on social media, people are always like, oh my gosh, where did you get that? And I can say Goodwill, and I got the one and only. Now, as an adult, one of the things that I love shopping about Goodwill is just, it makes me feel good to know that I'm helping people out. I recently learned that Goodwill provides job preparation for people, skills training, educational assistance, and support services to millions of people every single year who face challenges in finding employment. So now I can like add that to my list of reasons of why I love shopping at Goodwill. So yeah, I want to say thanks. I feel like it's come full circle. Thank you so much for sponsoring this podcast, Goodwill. I remember the first wedding that I attended after graduating from college. A friend of mine from high school was getting hitched, and I made the long drive home to Indiana, and I attended the wedding with my friend Allison. And I don't remember much about the wedding itself, but I do remember the reception afterwards. I was sitting at a long picnic table, and I was surrounded by, you know, old high school buddies. And I said to Allison, isn't this so weird? And everyone turned to see what we were talking about. And I was like, not this, not the wedding, but just this whole getting married thing. I mean, we're so young. Didn't we just graduate from high school? And Allison nodded. I mean, I was 23. This wedding felt like little kids trying on their parents' clothing, shuffling around in oversized outfits and dresses with smeared lipstick and giant pumps. It seemed more like pretend than reality. But our high school friends, they did not agree. They were like, what are you talking about? Everybody's getting married. And then they proceeded to rattle off a list of all the kids who'd managed to tie the knot. Even some of them had children, they said. And I remember I like drew in my breath and I clutched my heart and I grabbed Allison and I said, oh my gosh, can you imagine us with children? And Allison grabbed my shoulder and she shook her head slowly and she was like silently mouthing, no. One of our classmates rubbed her belly and then she looked at us in disgust. And I remember she said, well, I'm pregnant and this one is my second. You have to start early. Ooh, looky here, y'all. You don't have to do anything. Not unless you wanna. And after that day, I started noticing people pairing up, getting married, landing jobs, having kids, buying houses, getting their master's degree, and starting their, quote, grown-up life. And I couldn't get over the rapid pace that everybody was moving. I felt like there was some sort of deadline that I wasn't privy to. It was like folks had an adulting checklist and they were moving quickly, like in a contest kind of fashion to tick the boxes. No one seemed to really be asking themselves, is this what I really want? It was more like, how fast can I get there? And it reminded me of when our students, you know, they rush to be the first one in line and we say, hey, we're all going to the same place. There's no prize for being first. Without sounding completely morbid, we too are all going to the same place. It's what we do on our journey along the way that really matters, not who's first, not who's best at checking off society's checklist, but who stays true to themselves, who figures out, first of all, who they actually are, stays true to that person, and then achieves a happy life on their own terms. So where do we even start on this path? I say, let's first of all just ignore society's agenda. When I graduated from college with my painting degree, the next step, according to my classmates and my professors, was to get my master's degree in painting. Now look, I don't want to knock it if you have your MFA in painting or any kind of fine arts, because I can only imagine the amount of work and stress that you went through to get there, not to mention all the money that it took. Attaining my BFA in painting was fun only for a small sliver of time. The rest of my days were devoured by frustration, self-hate, exasperation. I mean, such is the life of an artist, right? That's at least what I was led to believe. Because I'd just graduated from college and I suddenly had rent, insurance, car payments, a Target credit card bill to pay. Word of advice, never sign up for those Target cards, y'all. Skipping off to attain my master's, it just was not in my financial future. In a couple of years, that's what I told myself. And then I spent like the next 5 years beating myself up for not getting my master's. Why do you want your master's? Is what Mitch would always say when I would, you know, be very frustrated that I hadn't managed to go after it yet. And I said, well, it's because that's just the next step. Like, I literally didn't have words for it. That was pretty much how the sentence came out of my mouth. And he said, who's everybody? Who's everyone? And why is their next step your next step? Yeah. It's funny because I'd spent a whole lot of time eyeball rolling at my high school friends who seemed to hop on the graduate from college, get married, have kids train. Suddenly, I realized just what a hypocrite I was. My life checklist may not have looked like theirs. It may have looked different, but it was still one that A, I didn't write, and B, I felt bound to, just like my classmates, or just as I perceived that my classmates did. I shouldn't speak for them. I shouldn't judge them as I had done. And realizing this and ditching that list, let me just tell you, it was so freeing. I was now able to do whatever I wanted without feeling bound by society and my parents, my professors, my peers, anybody. And I was like, holy cats, I'm free. And then I ripped that proverbial to-do list, the society agenda, I ripped it to bits and I tossed it into the air. And just as the pieces of that paper were starting to fall and settle, I was left with a void and a frightening thought. Crap. What do I want to do? And that's the thing. I think that it requires a lot of self-reflection and thought and spending time alone to figure that out. And sometimes that self-reflection and thought and spending time alone can be a little scary. Sometimes it's just a little easier to follow some sort of agenda that we didn't come up with. How do we discover what we want to do? It didn't take me long to realize that following life's agenda was easier than discovering my own. Several years ago, my husband's career, it was really starting to take off. And not only does he have his own business, I know I've shared it before. He has a company that makes chimes. They're called Treeworks Chimes. And I keep a single note energy chime in my pocket at all times because I use it as an intention getter in my room. You can find these guys online, Treeworks Energy Chimes. Commercial that I'm not getting paid for, over. And he had that company, and then suddenly he was approached by another company to take over, and it was a really exciting time for him, and he had so many opportunities coming his way. And I was happy for him. He knew what he wanted, and he pushed himself toward his goals, and he achieved them. But selfishly, I started wondering why exciting things like that weren't happening to me. The thing is, I didn't know what I wanted. I would succeed, I would see other people being successful and having success, and I would feel jealous. It wasn't that I envied what they had. I envied the fact that they knew what they wanted, they went for it, and they succeeded. How do they even know what they wanted? How are they able to navigate their personal path to happiness? My feelings at the time were also compounded by the fact that I was going through a big time burnout with teaching. Not only did I not know what I wanted, but I also wasn't loving my job. I wasn't loving what I was doing, you guys. I then decided that I should probably get some therapy. It sometimes just helps to talk to somebody who is so removed from the situation, who doesn't have a dog in the fight. And I remember he said to me, and by the way, if and when, and I say when because I really want to encourage you to get a therapist, even if you think everything is fine, which is my current life motto, by the way, and I'll get back to that in a second, but even if you think everything is fine, I would still encourage you to go talk to somebody who's removed from the situation because you wouldn't want somebody's feelings to get hurt. Sometimes if you talk to a spouse or a loved one or your parents, they somehow think it's about them. That's just our human nature. We always think it's about us. Sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it's about the person who's looking for therapy, looking for somebody to talk to without judgment. And if you go and you seek out a therapist and you don't strike out, you don't find somebody good to talk to, you just don't gel with that person, keep on trying. You know, it's like finding somebody to date. You don't end up marrying the first person that you date. Thank goodness. Oh my gosh, I just had a flashback. No, you got to find somebody who you just instantly, or maybe not so instantly, but you feel comfortable talking with. I know I was going to go somewhere else with this. Suddenly, that train has left the station. So let me think back. And I remember when I did finally find a therapist that I enjoyed talking to. Cool dude. I remember he said to me, well, what do you want out of life? And I told him I didn't have a clue. So he suggested that I start looking for opportunities that interested me, even if they seemed off my path. Say yes to them, I remember he told me. Just go along with anything that kind of piques your interest. So I started saying yes to stuff. I said yes when my application to spend 2 weeks of my summer in Japan as a part of the Japan Fulbright Memorial Fund was accepted, which I would recommend you look into that. Speaking of cool opportunities, I said yes to writing for a magazine in Nashville that was called Nashville Arts Magazine. I said yes to attending an out-of-state conference with a fellow teacher that I'd always admired as a teacher and I wanted to befriend. Saying yes a lot of times scares me, and it still does scare me, like moving 6 hours away from home without knowing a soul or traveling overseas without knowing the language. I don't enjoy shoving myself out of my comfort zone. It's not my favorite thing. The unknown can be scary, but there's no way of knowing what adventure in life lies ahead if you don't just start saying yes. And that was many years ago that I'm talking about. But even now, currently, I said yes to going on Nailed It. I've said yes to going and presenting at a teacher conference, not an art teacher conference, where I had to get up and present in front of 1,100 kindergarten teachers. Was I scared? Yes. Did I regret saying yes at that moment in time? Oh, you better believe it. Am I glad that I said yes? Definitely. Even if I learned that, you know what, this isn't my thing. Even if I learned, I didn't know that I could do that. It kind of like, it boosts your confidence when you push yourself out of your comfort zone. Sink or swim, you should try it. I started to notice that the more that I did say yes, the more opportunities started to arise. And it was then that I started to become more selective with my yes. Yeah, this is kind of how I think of it. When you go to the grocery store and they have all of those like small food samplings, my mom and I and my mother-in-law, we were in the grocery store today. We hit it at that beautiful moment in time where it was nothing but free samples. We try just about everything, and I'm sure you do too. I mean, we were hungry, so we sampled the little sponge cake at Starbucks, the different kind of cheeses, their weird crackers, the dips, anything that was free, they were doling it out, and we were taking it. We tasted everything, but in the end, we didn't end up buying all of that stuff. We only ended up getting what we came there for, what we really needed. Life's opportunities are kind of like that. You got to sample what looks good and then take away what you really want. Listen to your gut. Be honest with yourself. And this will help you blaze your own trail. It'll also help you start to say no to what keeps you from your goals. And as you begin to discover what you want your life to become as a teacher, as an artist, as a happy human, start making a list. I love making lists. I am also really good at losing my lists. To me, the joy is actually in the moment of creating the list itself. Your life list should be organic. You should lose it and you should rewrite it. It's going to grow. It's going to change anyway, just like you. And as your list changes and forms, you should have a clearer view of what will get you closer to your goal and what won't. Your time is precious. As uncomfortable as it might be to say no, like me, I'm the worst at saying no. But maybe you and I, we can both kind of help each other with that and hold each other accountable. This may sound really weird because just a moment ago, I was telling you to say yes to everything. But those were yeses to help you discover what you wanted out of life. Now that you kind of sort of have a little bit of a clear view, it's time to start saying no to all of those time-sucking people and activities that take you further from your goals. Think of it this way. Every time you say no, you are in turn saying yes to your goals and your dreams. Can you make a poster for me? Because it will literally only take you 5 minutes. Would you make a banner for the front lobby? I need it by tomorrow. I have no idea on how to make a mural for the hallway, so I thought I'd come to you. No, 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 no. Freaking way. No. I mean, that's like one way you could say it. Or, thank you so much for thinking of me. I'm going to have to politely decline. Yeah. Every opportunity you take to help someone else toward their goals is like a step backwards from yours. Try to remember that. And you and me, let's like work on trying to say no. Another thing that we need to make sure that we're doing is we need to stop concerning ourselves with what other people think. It is so time. It's like overtime. It's past time for us to be concerned with what other people think of us. There was a time when I didn't dress like the crazy art teacher that you see today. I wore a lot of unfortunate front pleated khaki pants and jean jumpers. I had one dress that I'd occasionally wear, and when I did, Mitch would compliment me on it. He would say, "That looks nice. You should wear dresses more often." And I told him how I used to wear dresses all the time in high school, especially vintage ones. But sadly, I'd kind of shove them to the back of my closet to make room for all of this really bland, boring clothing. I remember saying, "But won't people think that it's weird that I'm like wearing a dress?" And he said, "You should stop giving a shrubaha, a crapola. We'll put it that way." starts with an S. What other people think. Wait, I can do that? You mean I can walk around, wear whatever I like, and just ignore the looks, the comments, the eye rolls, and the stares of other people? Okay, I'll try it. And it didn't take me long to realize that not giving a load of poo what other people think can apply beyond what I wear. I just started strutting around in my proverbial not giving a doo-doo outfit and seeing just how little the opinions of other people mattered. Who were they to pass judgment? And why did I even care if they did? And most of the time, you know what? People who resort to judging others are just looking for a way to make themselves feel better. And I ain't here for that. Every time I encountered the judgment of others or felt the weight of it creeping into my thoughts, I'd imagine I had a little no doo-doos given laser gun, and I would just zap away that negativity. Cassie, you don't have your master's in art education? Don't you want to further your art education? Nope. And that's just not one of my goals. Zap. Cassie, aren't you going to become a board-certified teacher? Ew, no. That sounds hard, and I like easy. Zap. Cassie, all of the other art teachers in our district are teaching this lesson. Don't you think you should too? You know what? I'm actually fine teaching what I believe to be best for my students. Thanks for asking. Now, zap. Look, you ain't never going to make everybody happy. In fact, pursuing your personal goals, being happy, and spending time with those you love is definitely going to tick some people off. Because you are loving life on your terms and not society's, those who are not brave enough to do so are going to dislike you for it. But know that it's not you. It's them. And you just give them a big old zap. And then you need to stop worrying what other people are doing. This one is tough. Because along your way to discovering what it is that you want out of life, you might often confuse it with what other people have. You see the bigger house that a friend has, the more rainbowy art room of some other art teacher, a person receiving a Teacher of the Year recognition, and without thinking whether or not that it's something that you want, whether or not that that's your dream or your goal, you just immediately decide that you want it. You might be consumed by jealousy. You might start to feel sorry for yourself. You might be moving away further from your own happiness. And I can say all these things feeling pretty certain because I've been there. When I was a kid, I was the big wheel champion of Joliet, Illinois. I mean, not to brag, but now you know. And every Saturday night, my dad and I would go to the local stock car racing event where they would host a big wheel competition during intermission. And then for those of you who do not know what a big wheel is, then you obviously didn't grow up in the 80s. But the big wheel was basically like this monster truck of tricycles. It had a giant plastic wheel in the front and two little wheels in the back. And if you rode it long enough, you'd eventually wear holes in the plastic tires and rocks would get inside and they would make this amazing rattle and rumble whenever you would ride it down the street. And since I was like a head taller than all of the kids in my class and I had legs that went up to my chin, I easily blasted the competition during the big wheel races. And I remember before every single race, my dad would give me the same bit of advice. And he meant this advice literally. This is a guy who really, really wanted me to bring home the big wheel trophies. But now as an adult, I take his advice figuratively. He would say to me, no matter what you do, don't look behind you. Don't look to see where the other kids are. Just keep pedaling as fast as you can. Never look back. Isn't that great advice? Oh, I mean, it did help me win every competition until I hit the age of 10. And I literally looked like a praying mantis riding around on that big wheel. It's pretty embarrassing. But as an adult, I love this advice so much, because when you stop worrying about what other people are doing, then you can focus on your own path. Don't waste your time looking around to see where you measure up. Don't lose hours scrolling through social media feeling sorry for yourself. Just keep pedaling towards your goals as fast as you can. And then finally, you've got to find those friends and those family members who care about you and your happiness. I remember when I finally befriended another art teacher. It took me a long time, like 10 years. I was a really lonely teacher for the first 10 years of teaching. And I remember when I first made a friend, another art teacher friend, I was so excited. But it didn't last long, because I noticed that every time after we hung out, I felt like crap. She would say things like, "Why are you wearing that?" Or when we would go and like paint together, "Your painting style is so amateur." Or she would say, "I hate those shoes you're wearing." Here's one thing that they never teach you in school, is that sometimes you're going to make friends with folks who aren't your friends. I call these people the naysayers. They're going to say nay to your ideas, your dreams, your art, your shoes. And it's mostly because they're insecure and they want to bring you down. But that won't matter to you and how it makes you feel. What it feels like is someone whose opinion that you value is telling you that you're wrong and that you're never going to be able to get it right. You're definitely never going to get it right with that kind of friend. So you need to find the yay-sayers and ignore the naysayers. I have a sign in my room that says that, that I created because of that situation. And I eventually stopped hanging out with that person. Something I've discovered as an adult, sometimes you have to kind of break up with people who you thought were friends. It's really awkward and it's strange, but not nearly as bad as spending your precious time with someone who's not in your corner. And I was lonely, but at least I no longer felt badly about myself. Friends and family might not always understand you, but they should respect you enough to cheer for you. And if you find that they are not in the cheering section of your life game, then maybe you should stop inviting them. There's some folks that you're never going to win over, and that's okay. But it's not okay to allow their words and their actions to make you feel anything other than awesome. Discovering your happiness is a vital part of your art teaching journey. A happy teacher is the one that your students deserve. And happiness isn't just something that we can buy. It doesn't come easily. It's not some newfangled cream that we can get at the beauty counter. It's something that we have to work on. It's something that we definitely won't get scrolling through social media or mimicking what other people are doing. It requires soul searching. It takes asking yourself questions that only you, not society, not peers, not family or friends, but only you can answer. And when you find true joy and happiness and purpose and passion in your life, it's going to shine through you like a light. And your students, this is going to sound so cheesy, but I mean this. Your students are going to be able to bask in the warmth